Stop yelling. When a parent yells at a child to stop yelling, it's the ultimate do as I say, not as I do moment. And believe me, every parent has been there. Usually the second those words hurled in utter frustration leave your lips, you're aware of just how ridiculous you sound. Yelling at someone to stop yelling is like telling someone to give up smoking while chain smoking unfiltered Camels. It's just a bit hypocritical. Jesus spends a fair amount of time railing against hypocrisy. And he does just that in today's gospel reading. But what does it mean to be a hypocrite? You may know that the word itself comes from the world of the theater. In ancient Greece, hypocrite was the term used to describe an actor. It literally meant one who wears a mask. Over time, it came to refer to someone wearing a figurative mask. In other words, a person pretending to be someone or something they're not. In Scripture, there are really two types of hypocrisy that arise again and again. The first is holding a particular belief and then acting contrary to that belief. The prophet Isaiah condemned the hypocrisy of his day this way. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." In our own Book of Common Prayer, the same concept shows up whenever we pray the general thanksgiving at evening or morning prayer. In it, we ask for God's help in showing praise not only with our lips, but in our lives. In other words, not just giving lip service to our faith, but living it out through our actions. Public examples of this type of hypocrisy, unfortunately, abound. The family values politician who gets caught up in a prostitution sting. The pastor who preaches dignity for all but preys on children. The celebrity who constantly posts on Twitter about the impact of climate change but takes private jets everywhere. The list goes on and on. The other type of hypocrisy cited in Scripture happens when we judge others or look down on them for certain flaws when we ourselves are hardly perfect. Of course, it's easy to stand in judgment of others without examining our own lives, and frankly, it's kind of fun. Putting others down makes us feel so much better about ourselves. Jesus said a few things about this, too. He said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone, and first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly the speck in the neighbor's eye." Now, we're all guilty of this to a degree. Hypocrisy is rather deeply embedded in the human condition. But the major source of Jesus' ire in calling out hypocrisy is when it impacts the vulnerable in our midst. It's why Jesus reserves his harshest criticism for religious leaders who fail to practice what they preach. Those who use religion to line their own pockets. Where was I? I was talking about not practicing what you preach. Right. But he likens religious hypocrisy to, or the leaders who engage in it, he likens them to whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones, which is a wonderfully vivid image. All of which brings us to this morning's reading from Luke, another example of religious hypocrisy. Jesus is teaching on the Sabbath day when he's approached by a woman we hear has been crippled for the past 18 years. She is described as literally bent over. And that's a powerful image that evokes in the Greek word both a physical and social condition. She is bent over and unable to see people face to face. She is bent over and unable to fully participate in the community. She is bent over as a marginalized member of society and unable to fully live among her peers. She is bent over spiritually as a woman possessed by a spirit and unable to enjoy the freedom of God's love. And Jesus lifts her up physically, emotionally, spiritually. He lifts her up and thereby transforms her life. He lifts her up so she can see, changing her perspective forever. This isn't to say that people with physical disabilities are somehow less than whole in God's sight. Healing can be both physical and spiritual. But in this case, someone deemed culturally insignificant is held up as an example of the inbreaking of God's kingdom on earth. And it's yet another sign that in Jesus Christ, the whole world will see and know that things which were cast down are being raised up, and things that had grown old are being made new. This is a profound and holy moment taking place before the congregation's very eyes. And the leader of the synagogue is pissed. Not because the woman has been made whole, but because Jesus broke the rules. He healed her on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is not for work, but for meditating on God's word. See, this Jesus is a fraud, a religious teacher who doesn't even know the most basic religious law. And Jesus rebukes him by calling him a hypocrite. A hypocrite who both says one thing and does another, and one who harms the most vulnerable among us. You can hear the righteous anger in Jesus' reply. The underlying message is that God's kingdom doesn't follow a particular timetable. You want to come up here? You want to come up here? Yeah? You can come up here. Come on. How's the view? Is that okay? Is that good? All right. So where was I?
Not following a particular timetable.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Someone was listening. So Jesus is not following a particular timetable. In fact, the time is right now to lift up the bent and the broken. The time is now to bring about healing and wholeness. The time is now to lift up the brokenhearted and vulnerable. In this kingdom of his, Jesus will always reach out and lift up, regardless of circumstance or rule. Because compassion trumps propriety, and liberty overcomes bondage every single time. You know, I think there's another more inward-looking reason Jesus spent so much time railing against hypocrisy. He knew that a hypocritical life leads to an unfulfilling and unhappy life. If you are living a life of contradiction, one where your actions are opposed to your values, you can't help but be bound by internal discord and strife and deep shame. And that's not what Jesus wants for you. That's not the path of peace, joy, love, and faithfulness. I'm almost done. What do you think? I know, we're talking about hypocrites. It's a little funny. But, you know, practicing what you preach isn't just for literal preachers. It's not. It's for all of us. And we're all hypocrites to some degree, whether it's yelling at your children to stop yelling or claiming to be tolerant of others' opinions unless they disagree with you, or encouraging others to donate to causes but not actually donating yourself. Jesus understands that we are complicated. We're multidimensional beings created in the image of God. And he simply invites us to shed as much hypocrisy as humanly possible, both for the sake of our own souls and for those who are impacted by our actions. You think we should do a baptism? You ready? I know you're not getting baptized, but
I think we're ready.